At this moment,
I find joy in knowing
that I am who he says I am.
I can do what he says I can do.
I can do what he says I can do.
And I'm where I'm supposed to be.
Hallelujah.
Let's say it again. At this moment, I find joy in knowing that I am who he says I am. I can do what he says I can do, and I'm where I'm supposed to be. Hallelujah. One more time. At this moment, I find joy in knowing that I am who he says I am. I can do what he says I can do, and I'm where I'm supposed to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, that ought to just excite you a little bit right there. Yeehaw. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated if you want. Hallelujah. Sometimes I'm a little slow. I told you guys, the young people made me dismiss your classes, I'm sorry. I told you all not, I told you the story a few times because it took me a while to get it. And then once I got it, now I see it all the time. It's really clear. It's kind of like the picture of the old lady, the young lady, and just depends on how you look at the picture is how you see it. Once you've been able to see both, you look at it and you see both. And I told the story about how when President Obama was running for election the second time, he was asked, what would you have liked to have done better? And he said, I wish I would have been able to tell the story better. And I just thought he had lost his marbles and didn't get it. And then I realized, no, he knew exactly what he was saying. He didn't tell the story well enough to get enough people on his side that he could have accomplished more. How many have ever heard the statement, a false narrative? Did you ever hear that? Those two words put together, a false narrative, which means you start talking about something that has nothing to do with the real story, but you end up eventually convincing people that your story or your narrative is correct, but it has nothing to do with the original story. And you've got everybody that you've been talking to kind of hoodwinked and thinking about something completely different. For example, abortion. There's a false narrative that says it's about a woman's body. Has nothing to do with a woman's body. It has to do with a baby's body. But the false narrative is that it's about the woman. You follow what I'm saying? So it's how you tell the story, because the story was told so well that in reality, most people, or I shouldn't say most people, a lot of people that have been told this false narrative about it's a woman's body and the thing inside is just a blob, right? That's the story that you hear. If that story is true, the reason, what I was trying to say is a lot of people believe that and they do not understand the other side whatsoever because they've gotten fed a false narrative for a long time. So the story is really important. Would you agree? You have to know that you've got the real story. Like Paul Harvey used to have a show called The Rest of the Story. You need the real story, you need the whole story, and it doesn't hurt to have the backstory. Thank God for the Word of God, because he gives us the whole story from beginning to end, including the backstory. And the really cool part of the story is every time we turn around, we win. That's right. Every time we turn around, we win. All throughout history, God's people, when they have their mind and their heart fixed on God, they win. Every time. Every time. When they get their mind and their focus off of him, they fall down. They stumble. They skin some noses and some knees and some elbows, and they break some stuff, and it's not good. But it seems like every time they humble themselves and pray and turn towards God, they win again. That's a pretty exciting thought, too. So I started off by saying that sometimes I'm a little slow getting there. It takes me a while to figure out what's being said. And a few months ago, Pastor Brad preached a message about now, being in the now. And I apologize, I didn't get it. I mean, I got it on a certain level, but I didn't get it. Not like I got it this week. And that message is extremely important. We are a people of purpose. How many have ever heard that or know that? We are a people of purpose. Let me see your hand. We got that, right? We got that one down pretty good. We are a people of destiny. How many have ever heard that or know that to be true? We are a people of destiny. And because of that, sometimes we lose focus of the process. We're looking at the destination. Sometimes procrastination is the worst enemy when we are completely destiny focused. When everything is just aligned right, it's all going to fall into place. So until that happens, I'm just going to kind of sit back and wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, right? I know. You're right. No, that's not right. No, that's true, but not in that sense. Waiting does not mean just sit around doing nothing. That's not waiting on the Lord. But we've got some real twisted ideas and thought processes because of being a people of purpose and a people of destiny. We forgot about enjoying the process. Everything we do in our life really has a lot to do with moments or destinies or accomplishments or events. I like to use the example when I was a kid growing up. We were told every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, usually every Friday night, and when we were having revival services, which was at least four times a year, every night of the week but Monday, we were told this one thing: Jesus is coming back soon. You better be ready and you better be right with God. As a true statement. However, that created a false narrative in our minds that went like this. Well, since Jesus is coming back soon, like any day now, I better hurry up and do everything that I want to get done. I want to be married. So we had a whole bunch of people in my group of friends that by the time they were 18, 19 years old, we were getting married. Because you don't know if you're going to live to be 21 because the rapture could take place. It's the truth. That's how we thought. So we would hurry up and get married. And then rather, most, now our society is changing a little bit, but most of us were immediately, well, we want to have a child. So you really didn't wait and enjoy just being married. You didn't really get the chance to enjoy just the process of getting to know each other and being friends with each other. And because so you skipped all that with the dating part because you got married really young, right? So you skip all that. So the next thing you know, now you want to have a baby and you want to have it like right now. You don't even know who each other are yet. And you want to get married. I mean, you want to have this baby because you want to have a baby before the rapture takes place, right? Well, then once the baby takes place, once the baby's born, or babies, multiples, depending on, well, they're twins or not, or if you have multiples in time, right? This is where I want to see them go to school. So they go to kindergarten. There's a big moment that day when your kids go to kindergarten for the first time. It's like, whew, moms usually cry, and sometimes dad do too. But, you know, it's just one of those things. It's just those big events. And then most of the time, we miss enjoying them being at school, except for the fact that we have peace and quiet. And then we want to see them graduate. We want to see them do well. Then we want to see them go to college, maybe. And then, of course, we want to see them have a wife or a husband. And then we want to see them have children so we can have a grandchild. And then we want to be able to retire. Everything is some other destiny, some other event that we're looking forward to, and we forget to enjoy the process of getting there. How many have ever said, I want something so bad, and when you got it, you really weren't happy with what you got? Because the hype of it was so big. You were looking forward to it for so much. It was going to be such a big deal. And when you got there, you realized, man, now that I'm an adult, I got to go pay the bills. I remember I wanted to be a grown-up so bad. I couldn't take it. I mean, my parents would get mad at me because at like 9, 10 years old, all the kids would be playing. I'd be sitting right there with the adults, listening to everything they had to say, because I thought I was an adult way earlier than I was supposed to be. Because I wanted to be an adult. Well, I got to be an adult, and I'm going, man, I wish I could be a kid again. Because there comes responsibilities with those events or those destinies that you start to look at. The children of Israel traveled around the desert for 40 years, and they kept saying, we want to do the promised land. We want to go into the promised land. Well, when they got to the promised land, he says, now you go and till the land. Like, wait. You've been feeding us for 40 years. You've been taking care of all of our needs. You've been taking care of our clothing, our shoes. Everything we've needed, God has supplied every single thing. Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, in every way, we have been completely taken care of. And now you want us to go to work? Really? They got to the destiny and they realized the destiny wasn't all it's cracked up to be. Maybe they should have enjoyed the journey a little bit more. Maybe they should have enjoyed the process a little more. See, because in the process that value comes. I use this little analogy at the end of first class because just as a teaser, but I like Galaxy phones. My wife likes Apple phones. Now, if I took an Apple sticker and stuck it on my Samsung phone and gave it to Tammy, that would not make her happy. It's not the name that's that important. It's the process that thing went through to be able to have the name on it. Does that make sense? Why would anybody want a Cadillac? They're so expensive because you know the process that it goes through before you get it. Really interested in Cadillacs, but you understand what I'm saying. Use that in any kind of analogy. We always say the Cadillac of any item or whatever, but why would you want that? Because the process that it went through gave it more value. It wasn't just necessarily the name on it. It was the process that it went through that made the name worth something. I know a lot of Christians who have not really gone through much process, and so they just carry a badge that says Christian. But haven't gone through a lot of process. Granted, kind of cool, because he went through a lot of process for us to be able to carry the badge at all. But there's some things that happen in our walk with God. There's some process that we go through that we should be enjoying, because the process is making us who we're supposed to be. I find joy in knowing that I am who he says I am, that I can do what he says I can do, and I'm where I'm supposed to be. Hallelujah. Purpose. Psalm 139:16 says this in the New Living Translation. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Let me read that one more time. Psalm 139:16. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. You knew every one of my events, and you knew all of my processes. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. The masterpiece that we are means that we've been put in the master's hands and he took and put us through a process. I was listening to a gentleman this week. He's been messing with my head. He's been pastoring for 30 years. He got up at a conference and he said, my name is, I can't remember his name, Carl, and I am a small church pastor. And of course, like an AA meeting or an NA meeting, they all clapped like he had come to some realization or revelation. And he goes, well, for you who don't know, it's only been about 5 years of my 30 years of pastoring that I realized that I was a small church pastor. See, for the first 25 years, I thought I was a big church pastor that just hadn't arrived yet. He had an event planned for the future. And he wasn't enjoying the process whatsoever. Sometimes we do that in our individual lives. We get this idea that someday I'm going to, or I'm going to be such and such. And in some cases, we know that that needs a college education. So we go to school because we know that's a part of the process. But most of the time, unless it's a planned event like school, we don't like the life process of getting us where we need to go. Well, guess what? In the process, you are who you're supposed to be. Right? In the process, you are who you're supposed to be. You're where you're supposed to be. Now, this is all merited on the fact that you're living for God and you're seeking after him. You're listening to his voice. You are who he says you are. You can do what he says you can do, and you're where you're supposed to be. Rather than us getting excited about a destiny, I'm glad we're a people of destiny. I'm glad we're a people of purpose. But we also need to think about the process that we're in and enjoy the process rather than just putting it off until, well, maybe tomorrow I'll be closer to my destiny and that'll be something worth excited about. No, in the process itself is where we're supposed to be. Now, I don't know if we're ever going to be a big church. It doesn't really matter to me. I don't really care. But what I do know is this. As a church, I want to be the best church we could possibly be. And the only way we could do that is we have to really start thinking about where are we in the process and start to enjoy the ride. The secret to the fulfilled life is to find our purpose and walk in it. It's an easy statement to say, but a different one, a difficult one to discover, because our destiny involves not only the discovery of our purpose, but also the process that leads to the promise. It's kind of all connected. We can't just be focused about where we're going. Because see, the truth is, I was going to make this little meme up today. Didn't do it because I didn't like it after I got it made. But it was just this winding road. And this winding road, you really can't see around the corner. But if you're in the process of moving forward, when you get to the corner, you'll see the next place you're supposed to be heading towards. We need to start enjoying the process that God has us in right now. Yeah, I know, but I'm not real crazy about where my marriage is today. Well, your marriage can't get any better unless you realize where you are today. Well, I think my relationship with my kids are not so good. Well, if you want it to get better, you have to realize where you are now, because there's a process to get from where you are to where you're going. Why not enjoy the process instead of fighting the process? I find myself fighting process all the time and putting off until later because maybe I'll be closer. Maybe something will just work out. God is sovereign and he can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants. Amen? But he uses us to make things happen. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are his mouthpiece. That alone ought to excite us. How could we ever become the great prophet unless we start by making a few mistakes in the prophetic? How could you be a great musician if you didn't start off somewhere playing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star? Enjoy the process, because it's through the process that we learn who we are. We learn what we're made of. We know that when the sticker goes on, that the value is there. At this moment, I find joy in knowing that I am who he says I am. I can do what he says I can do, and I'm where I'm supposed to be. Hallelujah. Say it with me again. At this moment, I am who he says I am, and I'm where I'm supposed to be. Hallelujah. I feel sorry sometimes for my kids because they end up being part of my illustration sometimes, probably more than they should be, but that's the life of being a preacher's kid, I guess. But I use some of you too, right, Tom? Like I did this morning. But Addison and I went to Dunkin' Donuts one time, and she was really down. She was really, really down. And she said, "I don't understand. There's people, my friends, they're all having babies, and we're trying, and we cannot seem to get pregnant no matter what we do." And I told her, I said, "The Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord," which includes women. Which means if you have your attention on God, he will be directing your path. And when the time is right, it will be perfect. I think it was about 2 weeks she came to the house, and her and Ben brought us some diapers saying we're probably going to need these. Psalm 37:23 says, a good man, and I'll add woman, or a righteous man, steps are ordered or established by the Lord. If you're a righteous man or a righteous woman, where's our righteousness come from? It comes from God, right? So we can say, if we are doing our best to live for God to the best of our ability, I'm a righteous man. Not because of my own strengths, but because of his strength. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength, I can carry the strength of the Lord in me. And because of that, I'm a righteous man. You're a righteous woman. You're a righteous woman. You're a righteous man. And because of that, our steps, what are steps? Process. Right? Our steps. He didn't say our destiny is order of the Lord, at least not in that passage of Scripture. He said our steps are ordered of the Lord. That means the process that we are in is in order of the Lord. Is that exciting? Is that exciting? The process that we are in, the steps that we're taking are ordered of the Lord. Sydney came to me a couple weeks ago, and she's like, will you take me for this interview? She went in the interview, and she's like, I don't know if I'm going to get the job. I said, well, I don't know if you're going to get the job either, but you're going to nail the interview. You went to school to learn how to do interviews. You're going to nail the interview. I don't know if you'll get the job. That's not up to me, but you'll nail the interview. And then I told her the same thing. I said, a righteous woman's steps are ordered of the Lord. And if this is the job you're supposed to have, you'll get it. Well, she went in. She did the interview. She came back out pretty quick, actually. And she posted on Facebook this really sad face. I blew the interview. And I'm thinking, I doubt it. But she really did. She thought she blew the interview. And that either the same day or the next day, she got called back for a second interview. And now she is the new sales and operations manager of Barnes & Noble Bucknell. It's the process that we go through that gets us to where we're going. We should probably enjoy the process a little bit more, don't you think? Maybe we should get a little bit more excited about where God has me right now, because right now is where he brought me to. Do you catch that? Right now is where I am, is where he's brought me to. Because, see, before I was over here, this wasn't as good as where I am now, because he's brought me a long way. And he's not done with me yet. So every step I take is ordered by the Lord. If my hand or if my heart is in his heart, if my heart is looking towards him, if my focus is on him, every step I take is ordered of the Lord. Now, here's a really cool just side note. But every step I take takes the kingdom for him. You catch that? Listen, where I am right now may look like I'm in a really bad place to someone else, but I'm taking ground for the kingdom where I'm at, because every step I take, I'm taking because he's directing my path. At this moment, I find joy in knowing that I am who he says I am, I can do what he says I can do, and I'm where I'm supposed to be. Hallelujah. I guess the world would say it like this. Slow down and smell the roses. Right? Slow down and smell the roses. There are some things we don't mind watching the process. Usually it's somebody else's stuff, somebody else's process. We don't usually like to watch our own process. We do appreciate it when we see it in others. When we see that, like this little child, for example, we saw a kid that used to go to church here at Walmart in Seals Grove right before the family fun day. And this little kid now has sideburns. And I'm going, you've been through a process, dude. And it was kind of cool to see somebody else's process. Now, I didn't walk through the process with him, but I saw the difference between where he was and where he is now, just in his size. Facebook now has this thing. 5 years ago, this happened. And you look at pictures of your kids or your grandkids, and you're going, man, things have changed. Things don't just change automatically. They change because of a process. If we want to get better, if we want to get closer to him, if we want to go further in our walk with him, it's a process. You don't go from here to there unless God transports you. You have to take the steps. You have to go through the process to get where you're going. And the righteous man's steps are ordered of the Lord, which means every place I go, he's directing my path. He's ordering my steps. I am in the will of God for my life for such a time as this, right now. Driving across 80. To go to Ohio, there are thousands probably of people who drive this season right now across 80 and look at all the beautiful trees, and they enjoy the process. I look at my clock and I go, I will be there in 3 hours and 15 minutes. Not taking the time to enjoy the process whatsoever, because I've been destiny driven. I want to get to my destination. I want to get to the point where I'm supposed to be. But see, I can't get to where I'm going unless I go through all the mile markers from here to there. Right? That's the process. You got to go through the process no matter what. We might as well enjoy the process. Otherwise, if we're completely destiny-driven, unless everything is up here looking wonderful, looking great, we're going to be depressed or at least discouraged. If everything doesn't look like it's supposed to look, like it's moving in the right direction, right? How many of you ever got on the highway and thought, am I going the right way? You get off the exit, you go get something to eat, you get back on, you go, get on the right exit, go in the right direction. Didn't I just see that? Sometimes what we see is just a lie. Sometimes what we see is just lying to us. It's not true. It's not real. Because, see, I can't get to there until I get there first. Sometimes it doesn't look right. Sometimes I think, am I going the right way? I find joy in knowing that I am who he says I am. I can do what he said I can do, and I'm where I'm supposed to be. Hallelujah. That's exciting to know that I am in the will of God for my life. You're in the will of God for your life. It may not be exactly where you thought you'd be, because we are definitely a fast food society. Can't you tell? Got to go through the drive-thru. Got to get that food right now. Got to go. Right? Microwave everything. Our world has become much quicker. You can get the news of what's happening in Washington, D.C. 5 seconds after it happens. Used to take a horse and a piece of paper. Our world has gotten where we want results, and we want them right now. So we have, I believe, in a lot of cases, we've learned how to not enjoy the process. I find joy in knowing that I am who he says I am. I can do what he said I can do, and I'm where I'm supposed to be. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. For us to be able to grow in grace and for us to grow in knowledge, it is not a magic trick where 1 second you have it or don't have it and the next second you do. You could, because God is sovereign. God could do whatever he wants to do. But in general, it's a process. You have to go through the process of learning. You've got to go through the process of learning about the grace of God. You've got to learn through the process of learning about the goodness and the love and the mercy and the grace of God. And right this morning, we're in the process of learning about process. Would you stand with me this morning? If you would, say this with me. At this moment, I find joy in knowing that I am who he says I am. I can do what he said I can do, and I am where I'm supposed to be. Hallelujah! And there's an exclamation point on that. Oh, he doesn't have it up. One more time. At this moment, let's learn this really good because I think this is a good one for us to learn for Monday morning, Tuesday afternoon, Thursday afternoon, Wednesday at 2, whenever you just feel like, oh, what am I doing? Say this. At this moment, I find joy in knowing that I am who he says I am. I can do what he said I can do, and I am where I'm supposed to be. Hallelujah. Find joy in knowing that you are right where you're supposed to be in the process. Rethink, retool, relaunch, or in other words, recalibrate. Part of that recalibration is this. We need to learn to enjoy, find joy, find peace, find solace, find comfort in knowing that I am right where I'm supposed to be in the process. Hallelujah. I think the process that we're supposed to be in right now is to be the best sanctuary of praise we could possibly be. We can't be Saddleback Church that runs thousands. We can't even be Life Center who runs 1,500. We can't be Revival Tabernacle that runs in the hundreds. We can be Sanctuary of Praise, and we can learn how to, in the process, be the best Sanctuary of Praise that we can possibly be. Now, if we are the best we can possibly be, we're probably going to see changes around here. Because through process comes the promise. Through process comes the promise. So when we happen to be standing somewhere and we go, I don't really like where I'm standing, just think, I'm standing here because he's given me a promise. And I'm in the middle of the process. And I find joy in knowing that I am who he says I am. I can do what he said I can do. And I am where I'm supposed to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good, and he is not done with us yet. That's why we're still in the process. See, if he was done with us, we would be at our destination. You know, I am starting to think from a different perspective. I don't know if I ever want to get to the destination. See, if you get to the destination, you're done. Right? Process is a whole lot better looking today than it was yesterday. Heavenly Father, we love you. And we have prayed many, 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 many times from this pulpit that we thank you for where you brought us from, and we thank you for where you're taking us, and we thank you for where you have us right now. But today, with new eyes wide open, we want to thank you right now, Lord, for where you have us today, that we are in the place of your will, that we're where we're supposed to be, that we are in the process of going someplace. And it really doesn't matter if we ever arrive, as long as you keep ordering our steps, as long as you keep directing our path, as long as you keep leading us in the direction that you want us to go, we will continue on this journey and through this process of being everything that you want us to be. But for right now, we thank you, Lord, that we are who you said we are. We can do what you said we can do, and we are where we're supposed to be. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we pray blessings upon your people. We pray, Lord, that you would give us more dreams and visions and ideas and concepts, woody inventions. Yes, Lord. As we start to enjoy the process even more. Give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.